take off your hat, kick off your shoes, it's the Pocket Radio Show.
The fella took me in and said, now, we've got x-rays. So I got his phone number and rang him up, but I heard the laughter. And it's so powerful. I mean, I've got to get rid of that ear. It's in the wrong place. It's like about a half an inch too far over. It'll be mysterious, and those bits of white paint will show through. And it's going to get to the end soon. I'm going to have to say something. What am I going to say? And I'm smiling and thinking, oh, you know, it's like the other little boy has grown up, and it's like somebody had walked over my grave, you know. It was like,
hello, dear listener, Ian Lee here, and you're listening to episode 8 of the Ian Lee Pocket Radio Show. Thank you for downloading it. The numbers just keep going up and up and up. It's been the internet sensation of what I like to call the internet. On this week's show, Vinny calls in. Yeah, you can skip past that bit. We've also got the Hanson at My Wedding guys, who are brilliant, and I totally support them. They're trying to get Hanson to play at, that's right, their wedding. And they're very, very close to making it happen. More of your phone calls, some audio booze liberally scattered around, and just the general zaniness that you'd come to expect from a show recorded in a has-been's spare... A show recorded by a top celebrity in a luxury Soho recording studio. A big thank you, as always, to my advertisers who... decided to advertise. I keep trying to think of a clever way of saying that. There is no clever way of saying that. If you'd like to advertise, it's probably cheaper than you think and very effective. Send me an email, ian@ianlee.com, and we can discuss rates and things like that. This week, we've got the British Studio of Art in Hong Kong. That's BSOAHK.com. Always exciting to have foreign shores advertising. It's not actually the shores, it's the BSOAHK.com. We've got we7.com, we7.com, and also audible.co.uk/Ian Lee, where you can download a free audiobook if you sign up for a month's free trial. Also balconyshirts.co.uk, but I feel I'm saying them too much, so I'm going to stop saying them, even though they're awesome. Oh, by the way, go to YouTube, type in Ian Lee, Balcony Shirts. We done made a funny film. I think it's funny. Lots of people have said it's funny. I've sent it to the head of ITV. His the PA has written back saying that he's away, but it's on his list of things to look at. You never know. So, yeah, go to YouTube, type in Balcony Shirts and Ian Lee. I'm going to shut up and let you enjoy the show. Thanks again for listening. Oh, I made it sound like it's the end there. It's not. It's just the beginning.
Want free music on your mobile? Then download the We7 radio app now. Available on iPhone and Android. We7 is your personal DJ in your pocket, giving you access to over 10 million songs for free. Enter one song, artist or genre, and the We7 app will play hours of the music you love. You can listen to We7 anywhere, in the car, train or the gym, even without an internet connection. Join the radio revolution and download the We7 radio app now.
Line 6. 6, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
It's me.
I'm going to need a little bit more than that.
It's Vinny.
Oh, God. Vinny, how are you, brother?
Yeah, good. Long time, isn't it, since I called you?
It's a long time since you've spoken a sentence, it would appear. Yes, and what have you been doing, Verinda?
I've been in a cave for about 6 months.
Oh, for God's sakes. Okay, and what have you really been doing, Verinda?
Walking around.
Yeah. Is there any chance...
Home.
Yeah, okay. I'm not actually interested. Is there any chance you could move your mouth a little bit further away from your mouthpiece?
Okay, then.
Okay.
Is that better?
Well, I can still hear you, so it's not perfect, but it's definitely better, yes.
Yes.
So, you've called in, Vinny, despite my hoping you wouldn't. You finally managed to find me. Yeah. Okay. And what can I do for you?
I'm just wondering what you've been doing lately, the last 6 months, since you got sacked.
Wasn't the sacking, Verinda. It was a mutual decision to bring the show to an end. Thank you.
No, it was a mutual decision that you get a sack.
Okay, it wasn't...
they sacked you and you agreed.
Okay, let's go to line two. Line two, you're through to Verinda. What can I do for you?
Hello, Ian.
Hello, mate. Well, who's this?
It's Dwayne.
Dwayne, you're through to Vinny.
Hello, young lady. I just want to know, why are you such a bummer?
Excuse me. I don't know who you are, but...
it's Dwayne.
Dwayne who?
Just Dwayne, mate. I just want to know why you're such a bummer.
It's a good question, Vinny.
Yeah, care to answer, Vinny.
How did you work that one out? How did you work that I'm a bummer?
Okay, can we just let's stop using the phrase bummer. Dwayne, have you gone? Yes, let's go to line three. You're live on the internet through to Vinny.
Oh, hi. You're right.
All right, yeah. What is your name, then? What is your name?
My name's Gopal.
Okay. So, why have you called in, then?
Basically, I've come with a little proposal.
Yeah.
Verinda, I've been listening to you for a long, long time, and I think you sound hot. How old is she, Ian?
I think she's about 22 now. Vinny, how old are you these days?
24.
24! Wow, you're nearly 30, and you've achieved so little in your life. Vinny, you are an attractive young lady. Are you looking for a mate?
No.
Come on, Vinny, I'll buy you ice cream.
I'm looking for a girl.
Oh.
Oh, wait, Oh, so you're into that sort of thing?
Thank you, Gopal. Well, there we go. Let's. This is the kind of quality of call that you inspire, Vinny.
Well, hang on a minute. They're calling you, not me.
Well, yeah, but they. So, all right. Good point. Touché. Line three. You're through to Vinny.
I can, Vinny.
Yeah, Vinny, someone... A little bit of phone etiquette. When someone says hello to you, it's just general manners to say hello back.
All right.
Yeah, all right, how you doing?
Oh, not too bad, how are you, right?
All right, where about you from, then?
Merseyside.
Okay. So why have you called in?
I don't know, I want to chat to you, Vinny. How's things like? How's it down in Forest Gate?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's a rough neck of the woods, that. It's a rough neck of the woods.
Okay. Have you got a question, Verinda? For Verinda?
No, you can't go now, bye.
Okay, I've got no idea! No idea what happened there! Unbelievable!
No.
Okay.
That was quite a strong Scouse accent.
It was a very strong Scouse accent. Well, Vinny, the thing we're talking about in the show today is diets, because I'm thinking of going on a diet. Any tips?
What type of diet do you...
One of the diets where I would lose weight. That kind of diet.
Okay. So, okay, and you're veggie, so you can't do the Atkins.
Do people still do the Atkins? By the way, line six, you're live on the internet.
Oh, hi, it's Gafford.
Yes. Can I just flag this up to both of you, that the next 3 minutes are probably going to be cut out, okay?
Fine.
All right, then.
Excellent.
Okay.
It's interesting, you've called Gafford, we're talking diets.
Right, yes, yeah. Atkins. Do you know the hilarious thing about Atkins is that he died?
Yes.
Of problems, complications from his diet.
I don't think a man's death is necessarily that funny, if I'm honest.
Well,
yeah, but I mean, look, the way he died.
Irony, then.
Irony, yes.
Irony, maybe, rather than humour.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't open
with
that.
Yeah, but isn't irony funny, though?
Irony can be funny.
It's more... Irony is more sort of ironic...
Circumstantial.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know any of those words mean, Verinda?
It's a bit like that Cheryl Cole Crow song.
It's a bit like that Cheryl Cole Crow song,
I,
yes.
I think you mean Alanis Morissette.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
speaking of that song was ironic.
No, that's the thing, it isn't. It's like rain on your wedding day. That's not irony, that's just bad luck, to paraphrase an Ed Byrne the comedy routine. Yeah. But here's something. Speaking of Cheryl Crow. Speaking of Cheryl... Cut that out. Here's something. Speaking of Cheryl Crow...
Yes.
It only dawned on me yesterday that she's actually quite hot.
Yeah, she's about 50, though, isn't she?
Well, age doesn't always come in.
Gatford, thanks for calling. Let's go to line six. You're through to Verinda.
Hey, Vinny.
Yeah, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, do you have any tips about diets?
Have I got anything to talk about diets?
Yeah.
Yeah, give up caffeine, eat lots of fruit, more veg.
Yeah.
Give up pies. No burgers.
Okay.
Saturated fats. Drink more water.
Uh-huh.
This is common sense. Is this specifically for you?
No, this for Ian.
Is it for Ian?
Yeah, I think I'm going on a diet.
Ian is the opposite of that.
No, I'm getting a bit tubby.
Oh, you need to cut down my bread again, then.
Matt Albright.
Have you tried a maple syrup diet?
No, Vinny. How does that work?
No, that sounds awful.
You drink whenever you feel hungry, just drink maple syrup.
That is literally bullshine.
Yeah,
Matt Allwright, the star of Rogue Traders and Watchdog and the Food Inspectors, and therefore he knows what he's talking about, and he's on this show next week, has told me to stop eating dairy and wheat.
Yeah, give up wheat.
No meat.
No meat.
And no dairy.
Yep.
No wheat.
Yep.
So what can you eat then?
Meat. Well, there's nothing. Well, I don't know what can I, because it turns out that bread is made of wheat.
Yeah. Bread.
Bread is made of wheat. Who'd have thought?
But surely you can eat, whole wheat bread.
The famous whole wheat bread on a no wheat diet. I don't think that's kind of
a whole meal.
You said whole wheat. Line six, you're through to Verinda.
Vinny, how you doing? It's Sean.
You get a lot of blokes, don't you?
I do get a lot of blokes. I don't get any women calling
in. I've got a question for Vinny.
Okay, well then please speak to her.
Vinny, do you think Ian sounds like an American sometimes?
Oh, good question. Do I sound like an American to you, Verinda?
Not really.
Well, he uses words. Instead of ass, like he says ass. And like he says,
that's just him trying to be cool and hit.
Have you got any ideas on how to be cool? Because I'm quite a sad sort of person.
Be cool is basically not caring.
Really? Just do my own things? Like going out naked?
Yeah.
Like a homeless person?
Yeah, if you want to do that, then that's cool. You probably get arrested, but it's cool.
Okay, let's take one more call. Let's go to line six. Six, you're live on the internet through to Verinda. Hello? Jamie? He's bottled it, isn't he?
Yeah.
Jamie?
Hello, Verinda.
Oh, hang on, there's someone there. There's a ghost. Yes, Jamie.
Yep.
Do you remember that caller, the ghost?
I do remember the ghost. He wanted my telephone number, and I gave him my telephone number, but he missed out one of the digits. He didn't write down one of the digits, so he's one digit out, okay? So there are only 10 permutations of this number. And so what he did was he phoned up all the combinations. I think he missed out six. So mine was the seventh call.
Yeah.
And he phoned me up, and I went, hello? And then when I realised who it was, I started going, no, you've got the wrong number. And he didn't realise. He didn't realise. What an idiot. Speaking of idiots, line three, you're through to Verinda. God, it's your boy.
Hey. Well, me thank you for the DVD I sent you, bugger.
I'll send you a Facebook message.
Message.
You sent me a picture of yourself in your pants. You dirty bag. I liked it. You're a big lad.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Keeping that strapped away in the jeans, okay?
Yeah, I can send you a DVD of my blue film.
You made a porn film?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Well,
just give us the title.
One night when Vinny went in.
Did you not come out then?
And what? Bearing in mind, we have young ears listening, and I want to keep this as clean as possible. Vinny, what's the plot line to One Night When Vinny Went In?
It's basically, I was walking down the street, and I went in the phone box, and there was a phone number on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It said, Stacey.
Oh, yeah.
I found a number.
Right, so far, I'll be honest, not particularly erotic. You going into a phone box.
You going into a phone box. You're listening, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. We can still...
It's a dirty name, though, Stacey, isn't it?
They're very dirty. Has anyone ever been out with a clean Stacey?
Yeah.
No.
All right, come on. Come on, Muttley.
And I went to her house, and we just filmed each other.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. Rob, is there anything you'd like to ask Vinny, Rob?
I'd like to ask Vinny one thing. If he could spend a day with a PG audience holding hands with any famous lady of all time, who would it be?
Good question.
And
how long would it take you for... No, I won't.
Holly Willoughby.
Alive or dead?
Holly Willoughby.
Holly
Willoughby. Okay, I've kissed her.
No, you haven't.
On the cheek, like showbiz kisses.
Are they proper kisses though?
It's closer than you've ever been.
I kissed my mum on the cheek. That doesn't constitute. I can't go bragging to people.
I kiss your mum on the cheek, and that's while I'm groping her big ass. Let's take one more call. Line 6, you're the last call through to Verinda. Go on.
Excellent. If you're talking about diets, what about giving up internet porn? It's not technically diet related.
What? So hang on, but how can you introduce that with, if you're giving up diets, how about giving up internet porn?
Well, and surely that makes you lose weight.
Well, who's trying to give up? Who's trying to give up internet muckiness?
I'd rather not say, to be honest.
Is it you?
Yeah, it's me.
Well, just stop watching it. Get a net nanny or something.
Yeah, but it's hard.
Well, that's... Literally. Well, okay. Thanks very much for calling.
Send a letter to Deirdre.
For God's sake. Well, Vinny, listen, I'm going to move on with the rest of the show, if that's all right. I'd like to say it's been a pleasure speaking to you, but, you know...
Yeah, up yours.
I love reading this ad out because it makes it sound so exotic and exciting. Here goes. It's for somewhere in Hong Kong. Are you located in faraway lands... Hong Kong. Listening to this for a little slice of home. Do your children crave something to do after school or at the weekends that's a little bit out of the ordinary? Then bring them along to the British Studio of Art in Hong Kong and put their creative energies to use. Located in Discovery Bay, the British Studio of Art is suitable for children of all ages with various classes available. Also, if mum or dad fancies a go, then why not come along to our wine and craft evenings just for adults? Adults only. It doesn't mean it's going to be mucky, okay? So get that idea out of your head. Check out www.bsoahk.com. BSOAHK.com for further details. And I tell you what, this is coming off my own back. If you send a picture to ian@ianlee.com of you outside the BSOAHK, British Studio of Art in Hong Kong.com, if you can send a picture of you there, I'll send you a prize. Boom. I'm joined on the Pocket Radio Show hotline. It's a Skype computer, but I'm still in my luxury studio in Soho. I've got James Bishop.
Hello.
I hope that was you swallowing a drink and not just your normal swallow noise. That was amazing.
It was.
Chris, how do I say your last name?
It's Douch.
It's not, but okay, we'll pretend it is. Okay, we'll pretend it's Douch, but obviously it's not. You're not just two random gentlemen. Tell the world, James. Tell the world who you are and what your aim in life is.
My aim in life. Well, my name is James Bishop. And
we've just done that bit, James.
I thought I'd go over it again because I was.
I'm not cutting out the swallow. The swallow is going to be in it, and the fact I'm going to put the swallow at the end of this interview as well. So it's going to be a double swallow.
Excellent. Well, I'm James, and I'm getting married this year on July 28th. And the thing I want more than anything is for Hanson to play at my wedding.
Fantastic. And how you have been attempting to make this happen, how?
Well, I send them a video along with my friend Chris Douche over there. I send a video to them every single day asking them to. And today is day 415.
Jeez, I didn't know it was that many.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've spoken to you.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. Chris, how did you get involved in this?
I don't even know, to be honest. I mean, I guess I'm just like the ultimate friend, really. I just got dragged into it somehow.
Okay, so you're sending these videos every single day. What was the first video you did?
Well, actually, the first video is not up anymore because we made a bit of a mistake,
right,
in that we went to the venue and said, this is where I'm getting married.
Yeah.
And then realised that actually people could just turn up if we did that.
Oh, yeah, you don't do that. You'll get a load of... I have met you chaps at a Hanson gig, and let's just say some of their fans are pretty weird. You don't want those guys turning up at the wedding.
It could get a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
We didn't really anticipate what it was going to be like, did we, before we began. We didn't know how hardcore their fans were.
Which is why...
So we're like, this is where he's getting married. This is literally it, right here. And then afterwards, you're like, that should probably be taken down.
Yeah, about 2 weeks later, we took it down. So, there is no first video.
Can I stop you there for a second? I've just got the Polish workmen knocking on my door. Hang on one second. I do apologise. I'm just pausing. That bit is so staying in the interview. Sorry. The builders who are fixing the roof of my luxury Soho recording studio, not my house, just knocked on the door and wanted some money. Anyway, so what were we talking about? Yes, sorry, this is so shocking. Can you believe this was number one in the iTunes charts for a few minutes? So you've taken it off. So the location of the wedding is now top secret.
Absolutely.
How have the videos progressed? What's been the evolution of the videos?
I mean, like, they started off. We were quite positive to begin with. We've had a few dips, haven't we, from time to time. But I mean, generally, it's kind of stayed on track, I'd say.
Yeah, it was around day 114, I think, where we first met Hanson.
So you have met Hanson then?
Oh, we've met them a few times. So the evolution was before that. I think hopeless optimism before then. Then we met them. And that kind of really sort of lit a fire under us. And we really started to go for it and thought, you know, this is going to happen. We met you and we came on your show.
Yep.
And then there was a bit of a dip. And then we met them again in November.
Are you talking about this? Was this after a concert or something?
This was the Hanson at My Wedding tour.
They weren't calling the tour that, I'm guessing.
But yeah, that's what we called it. Basically, what we did was... I think it was a week they were in the country, we just followed them to every gig. We didn't go into the gigs because we couldn't afford the tickets.
Yeah.
So we stood outside, we'd stand by the back door and listen, and then we would just wait for them, sometimes for about 4 or 5 hours after the gigs, just to ask a quick word.
And what did they say to you? Were they kind of just like, oh, geez, you guys, please leave us alone? Or did they chat to you? What was how did they handle it?
It depends which Hanson you talk to.
Right.
Because, I mean, actually, the first person that we met before any of the Hansons was one of their roadies. What was his name, Douch? The roadie's
Brian.
Name? Brian. We met
Brian the roadie. Brian.
And Brian saw us standing outside of the first gig, and he looked at us and went, you guys, he knew us.
See, that's good. If the roadie knows who you are, that's good.
And so we thought, okay, well, their roadies know about it. And he said they do talk about it on the tour bus.
Oh, man, this is good. Yeah.
But then it kind of progressed. As we went on, we saw them every night, and we started to build up a little bit of a rapport with them.
would they consider it a rapport?
Well,
I think they would. We had some good banter with them.
And Zach said to us...
Zach's the hyperactive drummer.
He is. He's the youngest of them.
Yeah.
And he did say that, you know, that he thought I was a pretty cool guy and perhaps me and him should get married.
Your fiancée doesn't know anything about this?
No, she knows nothing about this at all.
How the hell have you managed to keep over a year's worth of videos secret from her?
Well, actually, I mean, I think if you recall from the first time that I spoke to you, I ended up having to incite an argument with her to go to bed because I was going to come on your show at 11.
Yeah.
And I had to, she was always goes to bed earlier, and I had to make her go to bed. So I said, I'm watching the basketball. I don't even like basketball.
Fantastic.
And I started an argument with her so she'd go to bed, and she did. And I've done it again for you, Ian, because today, 8 o'clock on a Thursday, I was thinking, well, how am I going to make sure she's out? And it didn't look like she was going to go out. So I said to her, have you been to the gym recently? And she was like, no. I was like, maybe you should think about going again.
Yeah, tubby. Chris, you're doing all this for James, okay, and for James's wedding.
Yeah.
Are you the best man at the wedding?
No, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I'm not the best man
at all.
You're not the best man?
I'm not getting the best man.
James, shut up. Talking to Chris here. I'm getting the sense there's an imbalance of power. Chris, are you or are you not the best man at James's wedding?
I am not the best man, Ian.
Chris, are you an actual Hanson fan?
I am. Actually, me and Bish, we kind of begun our friendship over listening to Hanson.
Wow. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were working in a shop at the time.
Yeah.
And a CD came in, and we're like, oh, Hanson, they've got a greatest hits app. We'll put that on, have a listen, have a giggle. And we put it on, and it was actually a new album. And not only was it a new album, but it was a brilliant album.
Yeah,
it really was.
It was just, and we would listen to it literally all day. We would come in at 9 o'clock in the morning and play it until 5:30 and then listen to it on our iPods on the way home. It took over our lives.
Yeah.
Okay, so listen, where are we, James? You've got, how many months? You've got 3 or 4 months to go. What's the current situation?
It's a tricky one because in the tour, when we met Hanson, Zach did say to us that he didn't really want to do a wedding.
Oh, man.
He thought that doing a wedding was a little bit lame. Isaac has said to us, keep going. You never know what could happen. And he gave us a little wink.
Yeah. Oh.
We keep getting mixed messages because we do have our contacts with Hanson, not directly through them.
Yep.
But we do have our contacts.
Are they going to play at your wedding? What's the vibe you're getting?
If we can get them into the country.
Yeah.
We've got it on fairly good authority that they will come and do it, but it's a kind of a cost problem at the moment.
Right.
What we need from people basically is to keep on putting the message out there, and as much as we possibly can, and which we're not trying to pressurize them into it, but we're basically trying to pressurize them into doing it.
Oh man! Well, listen, I have asked Hanson to come on the show. The PR guy has got back and said that he's going to ask them, so they might come on the show, and he said that they're aware of it and stuff. So, and where are you posting the videos so people can go and have a look at the videos?
It's they're on YouTube, youtube.com/HansonAtMyWedding. We've also got a Tumblr, which is HansonAtMyWedding.tumblr.com, and there's a Facebook and all the usual stuff.
Listen, chaps, I wish you the best of luck. If there's anything I can do, then please let me know. And if Hanson get in touch and want to come on the Pocket Radio show, I will see if they will come on and talk to you, because I think they need to address this situation in public.
They do. That I think you're right. I think that's the next step.
They're running out of time, really. We're getting close to the wedding now.
They're running out of time, or you're running out of time. It depends which way you're looking at it. Chris, James, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
This podcast has teamed up with audible.co.uk to offer you, our listeners, a free audiobook of your choosing. All you have to do is register for a 1-month free trial to claim your free audiobook. There are over 60,000 to choose from. If you're in the UK, you can register at audible.co.uk/Ian Lee. The 30-day free trial means you can choose a free audiobook, from sizzling biographies to the latest fiction or even classical works, which is yours to keep whether or not you decide to cancel in the trial period. Register now at audible.co.uk/Ian Lee. That's audible.co.uk/IAINLEE.
He's a driver, isn't he? Yeah. Ricky's in Acton. Question or answer, Ricky?
Oh, I'm listening to James O'Brien. James O'Brien on the radio. He's doing interesting stuff like why do nails grow, and jerry cans and condensation. It's stuff you really wanna know. James O'Brien, James O'Brien, bright run, and James O'Brien, bright run, James O'Brien, yeah!
Line 3, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Good morning. I decided to bring up the Ian Lee Show to do an impression of Laura Stewart. But quite frankly, the impression is not good enough. Permission granted, please!
Permission granted. Let's go to... There's a jolly phone call. Line 2, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
It's called Robert.
Robert?
Robert.
Robert?
Yeah, Robert.
Robert. Robert.
Hey, how you doing?
You know, I'm getting there, fella. What can I do for you this evening?
I've just gone up to see how you're getting on. How's tricks?
Now, when you say tricks and how I'm getting on, in what respect? Be more specific, and I'll give you a specific answer.
How's the podcast coming along? How's it going?
Your radio show is going superbly. It's getting more and more downloads. This is... what episode are we recording now? Episode 8 of 12...
I was going to ask you. Is there any chance you could put it on YouTube for us people who don't have...
He's disappeared. I didn't cut him off there. He disappeared. And no, there's no chance I could do that. Didn't have what? People who don't have MP3 players? Well, you don't need a computer. Yes, Line 6, you're live on the internet.
Hey, Ian.
Hey. We just had a phone caller who was asking if I could put the Pocket Radio Show on YouTube, and then he disappeared. No, there is no chance of me doing that.
Why would it go on YouTube?
Well, I don't know. Why would it go on YouTube? He said for those people who haven't got, and then he got cut off. So I don't know. Those people who haven't got the nous to work out how to download it. Who is this, by the way?
It's Rudd.
Hey, Rudd. Everybody has got a computer. Or a mobile phone, or a tape recorder these days, haven't they? Everybody has those.
Yeah, and also, if it's on YouTube, surely they've got, like, the internet capacity.
Well done, you've just seen what I should have spotted. Then, of course, they must have a computer!
Silliness.
Talking of cassette players, a celebrity friend of mine, I've only got two.
Which one?
Mackenzie Crook. Yeah. It was desperately after a cassette recorder today. A cassette recorder. And I said, I've got one. I've got two. I've got one which I've just closed as I'm talking to you, which is part of my hi-fi NAD stacking system. And the other one is... I'm trying to close up. The other one is one of those like little portable radios. I'm a big fan of cassettes. And I dug out the cassette player. And it was. I tried it out with a monkey's bootleg. Oh, and a tape I found of me being interviewed on LBC before I ever joined LBC, talking about the 11 o'clock show. This tape is about 13 years old. Anyway, and it was playing the tapes. There's no end to this story. It doesn't have a satisfying conclusion. But the tape player worked, but it played the tapes a little bit too fast.
I see.
And Mr. Crook said that would do. That's where this story ends. There's not really any ending to that. But yes, I found do you want to hear a tape of me being interviewed, talking about the 11 o'clock show?
I would, yes.
Okay, well, I'm glad you said that, because you don't really have any choice. Let's just put this in and just rewind. Hang on a second. Oh, no, that's play backwards. What's rewind? Hang on a second. So we rewind it. Now, I haven't heard this for years, and I found this in my bedside table. So let's have a little listen.
No, I don't think so. We try and avoid
it. It's me sounding posh, listen.
Joke and go, oh no, that's gone too far.
Okay, two things we need to know from you, which we always ask.
That's not me, hang on, this is me coming.
These stuff is, tell me something secret that goes on.
I'm going to talk now.
Scenes of the 11 o'clock show that we will never get to actually see on air.
We all hated each other.
I had a fight in Southampton last week.
That's not you.
That's me, but it doesn't sound anything like me.
We're doing box pops, and to be honest, I was having a bit of a showbiz drop, as you do when you're on the telly.
I think what that must be, me. I vaguely remember when I started out on the telly, getting a little bit pretentious and disappearing up my arse, and I think that was me being a bit pretentious and putting on a posh voice.
Was that like right after your first? Like TV appearance.
It was quite early on. It must have been series 2 or 3. I don't know. What I'll do is if I can find a way. Oh, I haven't got the tape recorder. I've given it to Crook. Nuts. If I can find a way of getting that off of the cassette, then I'll put it on the podcast.
Okay.
Well, you don't sound excited by that prospect. What do you want?
I'm very excited. I'd like to hear the full interview.
As you should be. What do you want?
Are you still into gaming and stuff?
Yes.
Two questions. Do you play Skyrim?
A bit.
Do you like it?
I do like it. I haven't really got the time to delve into the mysterious world of Skyrim as much as I'd like to.
I bump Skyrim. And also, what's your game attack?
Yeah, right, I'm going to tell you that. By the way, dear listener, if you own Rainbow Six Las Vegas, the first one, on disc, it has to be the disc version, follow me on Twitter, at Ian Lee, because we're going to get a little tournament going. There's no run button on there, can you believe that? Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. It's a tough world, but we're going to get that going on the Xbox at some point, me and the lads from JoyPod. I say lads.
Ian Lee.
Line 6, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
My name's Glenn, and I have a piano.
Well, Glenn, you're singing. You've got tunes in your voice. Let's get something going. Come on.
Ian Lee. Ian Lee. Ian Lee. Oh, there will be a podcast. Ian Lee.
Yeah, now, what's your name, madam?
Glenn.
Glenn.
It's not a real piano.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're a liar, because that's not a piano, is it?
It's a keyboard.
You can hear from the plasticky-sounding keys.
Yeah, yeah.
But isn't it amazing what they can do these days with electronics? Because it sounds like a piano. It sounds like a piano, Glenn, but it's not a piano.
It's not a piano.
No?
On the topic of the Beatles, this thing about their wains, as we say in Scotland.
The what?
The word W-E-A-N, it means child.
W-E-A-N?
Wayne.
Wayne. Jings, yes.
Well, that's a lovely Wayne.
Oh, jings, yes.
Anyway, yes. Have you seen...
How's your willy? That's a Scottish joke. That's a Scottish joke, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, Scottish.
Thank you. Only the Scots will get that. The rest will think I'm being rude. Yes. Anyway, yes, Glenning.
Well, I've taken, you know, you've seen the articles about this thing that they're going to do a band, or they may
apparently
do a band.
Do I believe this? Probably not. But the children of the Beatles are going to get together to make a band, although Zach Starkey has expressed zero interest in it whatsoever. Good for him. But yes, that's the story.
He's just had a Thomas the Tank. Aye. Well, have you seen the articles? There's a picture of James McCartney going around. Now, I've never seen James McCartney, but I hate to say this. He's not got his dad's look.
Well, the thing is, he has got his dad's look, but he looks older than his dad.
Yeah, and he's nearly 70, isn't he?
Exactly. Paul is nearly 70, and James looks older, and dare I say it, balder, than his dad. Yeah. But I think it's remarkable how much they all look like their parents.
Oh, here's a question for you.
Go on, I'll see if I can give you an answer.
In any era, which Beatle, if you had to, would you?
This is a tough one because they were hot. Different ones were hot in different eras. Mm-hmm. Ringo, White Album, moustache.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. It's just that kind of his droopy eyes and the droopy moustache, and it's, you know, him singing Goodnight to me. Oh, God, yes, please.
I think post-breakup George Harrison, when he started to grow the hair a bit.
Yeah. Although, have you seen that George Harrison, the excellent George Harrison documentary, Living in the Material World?
The first half of it I saw.
It's brilliant. But you've got to watch the second half, because George had the worst haircuts of anybody after the Beatles. Just like at one point, he's got a tight, shaggy, wet perm. It's awful. Seriously, awful haircuts. And watch his teeth, because he has terrible teeth until about 1982. Then suddenly, he's got amazing teeth.
I fancy that. Yeah. Shall I get played out with a song?
Yeah, go on. What do you want? Hang on. What do I want? What do you want? What do I want? You do it.
I can play some Beatles songs. I can play the world's worst Beatles song.
Well, and that's enough of that, I think. Thank you very much. It is indeed the world's worst Beatles song. Now, I've got to try and find a way of... this is more of me, listen.
And some bloke...
I'm going to my trailer.
Exactly. If we don't have a trailer, I'm going to the public toilets would have been my thing. We just travel as is. But we were doing some stuff in the street, and this quite often happens.
Should I put that out on the podcast? I don't know if I can be bothered. What do I need to do? I'd need to get the line from the speakers. Oh, I probably could do it. Oh, well, I could do it. I know I could do it. But I just don't know if I don't know if you deserve it, dear listener. Okay, let's try line 3. 3, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Hello.
From that giggle, it must be Twitchy the Tramp?
No.
Who is this?
It's Kate.
It's Kate. I'm sorry. I thought you sounded like Twitchy the Tramp. You sounded like you were drunk on meth. Kate, do you want to hear a clip of me doing an interview on LBC about 12 or 13 years ago where I sound really posh?
Oh, okay.
Oh, I should have done it as a mystery voice. Oh, well, never mind. Okay, listen, this is me. I just found it on cassette. Listen.
And normally you'd ignore it, but I was in such a foul showbiz mood that I kept having a go back at him and was being...
That was me!
Wow.
Well, indeed, you didn't sound as impressed. Right, the next person that calls in, I'm going to do it as a guess the mystery voice, and you could win an Xbox.
Weird, that's amazing.
Yeah. I did some Vox Pops with Adam Hess today, which will hopefully will go into episode 9, if I can be bothered to edit them. And we couldn't get anyone to talk, so we came up with this device where we'd say to people, do you mind if we ask you a few questions? You could win an Xbox. And then at the end of it, we go, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't win, and just run off like that. Childish, but fun. Kate, what can I do for you?
Oh, well, if I say hi, so hi.
Hi.
And I just noticed one of the things you were talking about with diets, and I just thought that sounded quite a funny topic.
I'm going on a... Well, I am on a diet.
What one?
I started yesterday. The Matt Allwright from Rogue Traders diet, who told me not to eat any wheat or dairy.
Wow. But what does that leave you? Because you're a vegetarian. Well, it
hit me tonight, and then when I'm really hungry, thinking, oh, yeah, but I bet he can eat, like, meat and stuff. I can't do that. And is milk dairy?
Yes.
Oh, nuts.
If it comes from a moo cow, it's dairy.
And I only just discovered yesterday that wheat is in bread.
Seriously?
So milky bread is totally... But I've been eating, like, you. I've been eating cereal...
But no.
What?
But that's dairy and wheat, isn't it? All in one.
It's the cereal wheat! Oh, man! Next you're telling me that pasta's got wheat in it. Oh, no, it hasn't, has it? Oh, bull. So what can I eat? I can't eat anything. I'm really hungry. I nearly fainted.
You've got no fruit, vegetables.
I've had 4 bananas today.
Lentils.
Do you know what? It's gone 7 o'clock and I've not had a poo today.
Well, it depends on how regular you are, doesn't it?
Normally, I'm like 4 or 5 times a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
You want to get on to Gillian McKeith about that?
Exactly. I want to get on to Gillian McKeith. You know,
you want the poop in the Tupperware dish and send it to her in the
You
place.
Know she's not a real doctor?
No, I know. She got her... It's one of those internet thingies,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, nonsense.
You could qualify to be a poo doctor as well.
I'm going to be a poo doctor and a priest, and I'm going to marry a friend of mine. Oh, I did. She's my wife. But yeah, so have you ever been on a diet, Kate?
I have.
What? Now, people say this is the language, isn't it? And you used it. What one? The F plan. Was it the F plan diet?
No, it wasn't. It was the Atkins diet.
Oh, no, that's the one where you can eat any old crap.
Well, yeah, just, well, sort no, but sort of, yeah.
Okay.
You just eat really fatty food and lose loads of weight. And then get really ill afterwards.
Well, that's it. You get ill. How does that work?
Well... It kind of works. Basically, your body goes into shock.
Yeah.
And it doesn't... I'm not really sure how it works, but basically you get to eat really fatty food.
Well, luckily we've got our diet expert on the line right now. It's James Willis. Jimmy, we're talking about the Atkins diet. Maybe you can explain how it works.
Yes, you eat large amounts of meat and you lose weight for a little while and then you get fat again after you start eating carbs again.
Jimmy, sorry, maybe you didn't hear the question. The question wasn't what do you do, it was how does it work?
Oh, right, sorry. How does it work?
I'll ask it again, we can cut that bit out.
Yeah, we'll that's wonderful.
Okay, let me do it. Well, Kate, it's interesting you mention that, because we've got our diet expert, Jimmy Willis, on the line. Jimmy, we're talking about the Atkins diet. How does it work?
Basically, you stop eating all carbohydrates and supposedly lose weight.
Again, you're just telling me what you do. You don't tell me how it works. So,
I don't know.
Well, you're the diet expert, Jimmy. That's why we booked you tonight.
Right.
I'll do is I'll ask you the question again. We'll cut this out. Don't worry. I'll ask you the question again. Right. And here we go. Kate, could you give me the line into it, please?
Oh, okay. Yes, I did the Atkins diet, but I'm not 100% sure exactly how it worked.
Well, luckily, you should ask that, Kate, because we've got Jimmy Willis, who is an international diet expertologist from Sussex University. Jimmy, we're talking the Atkins diet. How does it work? And not what does it do?
I don't bloody know.
Oh, Jesus. Come on, mate.
And so I think I might have remembered.
Jimmy, luckily we've got Kate on the line, who is a dietologist from Sussex University. Kate, how does the Atkins diet work?
It's something to do with your ketones or kilo.
Are you crying or laughing? I hope
yeah,
it's the
I'm
latter.
Not sure. I think it's crying.
I am.
I'm laughing. Sorry.
Thank God for that. Isn't it, Jimmy, we've all been in situations where we think that a girl is... Shut up, Kate. Where we think that a girl we're about to cop off with in a party is laughing because we've said something funny, and then it turns out she's crying.
Oh, I'm not crying. I'm not crying.
I'm not talking to you now. I'm talking to Jimmy.
Oh, sorry.
Jimmy?
Hello.
Oh, I asked you a question.
I jumped on you. Can you hear me?
Unfortunately, yes.
Good.
Yeah, special bus today.
Right, Kate, say hello to Jimmy.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hello, Kate. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good. That's wonderful.
Jimmy does his own radio show. It's not very good.
Oh, I saw him on the webcam thingy.
Yeah. It's not very good. But
well, hang on. That's sorry. Very nice.
No,
isn't you from Bristol?
Did you hear that, Jimmy? You weren't meant to hear that. Sorry, Jimmy. When I do this, does it dip my microphone so you can't hear me? He's not very good.
Oh, bless.
Oh, I've got.
That's not very. Yeah, I can hear it. Happy about
in
that.
In
but
that
there
case,
we are.
In that case, that was me being ironic because I was clicking a button that should block out my microphone for a few seconds. It didn't work, so of course I was joking. But Jimmy, show me how it's done. Do some radio with Kate. Make some radio happen now.
I don't know how it's done. I just turn up and talk gibberish for 2 hours. There's not really much of a secret to my radio.
Are you from Bristol?
Video shows, I'm afraid.
Are you from Bristol?
I'm from, well, sort of Wiltshire, sort of more Swindon way.
So am I.
Oh, are you? Where are you from?
Oh, in between Swindon and Bristol.
No,
I'm not. I'm in between Bath and Swindon.
I don't know where you're from, do you?
No, well, originally I'm from London. Anyway, it's not very exciting.
No, it's not. Let's go to line 9. 9, you're live on the internet. No, you're not. Let's go to line 3. 3, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Hello, yes.
It's who? Hello? Martin, hello Martin, what can I do for you? It's not a brilliant line, but yes.
I'm sorry, never mind, a bit near with Wi-Fi, that'd be better for you, wouldn't it, really? I'm a bit surprised I got through, to be honest with you.
Well, it dreams can come true, Martin.
Ian, I love the show, I love everything you do, fair play. So I wish you hurry up and get back on the radio.
Me too, I'd like to pay some bills.
Feel free or more fair, would you?
Oh, Martin, I can't hear you, even though you've moved closer to the Wi-Fi. Line 6, you're live on the internet, who's calling, please? Hello? Ah, okay. Well, that didn't seem to work, did it? Let's try this one. Line 9, you're live on the internet.
Oh, sorry, me again, sorry.
Martin, you're back. Fantastic. But does moving nearer to the Wi-Fi actually have any effect?
It does, yeah. I'm sticking my hand in the air as well, so hopefully that will help.
You're using your... You know when mobile phones first came out, they had the aerials you could pull out, right? I only found out recently the aerials didn't do anything.
Oh, they were just there for sort of prettiness, I suppose.
They were there because people... The manufacturers thought that people wouldn't... They'd be more likely to buy it if it had an aerial, because people would think it was doing something. But it didn't do anything.
Well, I always remember people like standing on chairs or put your head out the window as you're going down the motorway in the car. And
Is there anything like... You don't do that. We don't do this anymore. You know that when you drive down the motorway,
yeah.
Sometimes you see a dog with its head stuck out the window, breathing. Have you ever done that yourself? Stuck your head right out of the window going down the motorway?
Yeah, I have really. Also, you must do it yourself when you stick your arm out the window and sort of do a swooping motion, if you know what I mean.
I do a swooping motion. It's very satisfying, isn't it?
Have you ever been caught actually sort of having a little... Maybe you've got a little scratch on your nose and you might have a little pick and you turn around and someone's staring right at you.
Man, all the time. We think when we're in our cars that we are invisible and we can pick our noses and nobody would notice. But of course, I'm always watching people pick their noses.
Yeah. I love people watching it and it's fantastic, mate.
It's better than people killing.
Well, I suppose so. I mean, it's your perspective on it, really, isn't it? I mean, I've never really killed a person, but sometimes you get the urge to want to. Not that you would, and we're not justifying it.
Not at all. Of course, we're not making light of murder. But we've all thought about what it would feel like to kill someone, haven't we?
Yeah, what would be your favourite way of killing someone if you was going to kill someone?
Two perfect murders, okay? There are two perfect murders. The first one is to stab someone with a sword made out of ice.
Yeah, I have seen that, but then there'd be a puddle of water and they could sort of trace it back to you.
How can they trace... Wait a minute. How are they going to trace water back to me?
Well, where are you going to stab them with it? I mean, there might be a strand of your DNA because, you know, it gets... When you've got a sword made of ice, it gets very sticky.
Okay, all right. Okay, I've got a better one then.
Yeah.
You club someone over the head. This was in Tales in the Unexpected. You club someone over the head with a massive piece of lamb.
Yeah.
And then you invite the police that are investigating the crime for Sunday dinner. Sunday dinner. And they eat the evidence.
That's fantastic.
The perfect murder, Martin.
That's fantastic. But what about the ones where if you've got a twin and you get your twin to do it?
Oh, man.
But then they find out there's one load of DNA, but they can't put it down to the individual because you're all the same.
I think they're allowed to arrest. No, they either let both of you off or arrest both of you. I can't remember which one it is. Maybe if there's some twins listening, they could go and commit the murder and let us know the end
That'd
result.
That'd be fantastic. Wouldn't yeah, be if awesome. You could answer on a postcard to Ian.Lee at Rocket Radio Show.
Thank you very much. Yes.
God bless you, Ian.
Thank you, Martin. Ta-ta.
You're a gentleman. Ta-ta, mate. Bye-bye.
I'm certainly not a gentleman. Okay, let's try... Line 66, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Hello, Ian, it's Jimmy.
Jimmy!
Hang on a minute.
What? Ooh, what's going on here?
He's messed up the technicals, hasn't he?
No, hang on, what's happened? Hey, to you
Oh,
there?
God, I can't work like this.
Shut up. Who just called me, then?
I...
Not me.
So, Kate, we just called you, did we? We. Okay, Jimmy, are you there?
Oh, yeah, just, I'm here, yeah.
Just did, yes.
Right, okay, so what do you want, Kate?
You just rang me.
Oh, yeah, okay, Jimmy, why did you just ring Kate?
I haven't rung Kate.
Oh, for God's sakes, what does one of you want?
Well, I rung you up to ask how you get on in Amsterdam, and then I've got all this confusion.
Okay, let's try line three. Three, you're live on the internet.
It's the Back at Radio Show with Ian Lee, yeah!
It's better than the current Kermit the Frog voice, don't you think? Nothing like Kermit the Frog. Line two, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Ian Lee, how you doing? It's Billy.
Billy, I'm all right. I was about to say, what's your problem? But I realise it sounds quite aggressive and completely unnecessary. But I'll ask you, what's your problem?
I've got a bit of a problem today. I looked at your topics, and yes. Although I would like to speak about your topics, I wondered if I could go off it slightly.
Listen, the beauty of this is we can do anything we want. It's the flipping internet. It's like the Wild West in 1872.
Excellent. Well, if we could spiral out of control just a quick second, it's about Jim Marshall.
Oh, Jim Marshall is dead. He was in Neighbours, wasn't he?
No, not that one. No. The man who made the amps.
The man who made the amps has passed. To be honest, I mean, how old was he? 90 or something?
He's 88.
88. I thought he'd passed a while ago.
Yeah, no, it's not really true with that. It was more the sort of poignancy of it all.
Yeah,
the fact that Marshall amps were just used on almost every pop song, every rock song that you know, every rock and roll song, you know, like... To a point.
Well, to a point. Now, listen, you're speaking to someone who did a documentary about Vox amps. So,
wow, well, okay.
To a point. But, of course, the Beatles famously only used Vox amps.
Right, okay.
But, yes, but I think Marshall kind of came into its own more in the 70s, didn't it, with the Marshall stack and the kind of rock thing.
Yeah,
and
no,
Marshall
no,
stack
no,
looks
yeah.
wicked. You know, there's no doubt about it. Marshall looks and sounds amazing.
There's talk on, I saw a little kind of epitaph today or a little something. It was, I can't remember where it was, but it was... you know, you're talking about Pete Townsend. He was dealing with Pete Townsend back in the day, and they were saying that they needed a cheaper alternative to the Bassman amps or something that was out right. back in the 60s, and that was kind of where it slowly but surely sort of thing. But I just thought it was, you know, in the background, he's responsible for a hell of a lot, really. I just thought it was a...
Well, there's Les Fender, and there's Brian Gibson are pretty much responsible for the late 60s through to the 70s kind of rock sound.
Absolutely, yeah. That's right. Well, it just so happened that I'm not far from Milton Keynes, and I was working, and I went past the Marshall Depot today, and I actually pulled over and just had a little sort of moment just outside just to have a look. And just sort of took it all in, really.
Well, good for you. It's one of those things, it's been around for so long, we kind of take it for granted. But of course, there is a human element attached to all of these things. Sad is past, but the good thing is it's kind of brought his name to the forefront for people who didn't know where Marshall came from. And didn't
well, I'm chomping at the bit for the memorial gig, that's a fact.
Man, listen, thank you very much for that. Thank you for bringing that up. It's an interesting little thing there. Line two, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is Braden Saywood.
Who?
Braden Saywood.
Is that your real name, or is that a made-up spy name from the 70s? That's awesome.
No, that's my real name.
Braden Saywood?
Yeah.
Braden, man, that's a fantastic name. What can I do for you, Braden Saywood?
I just really like listening to your shows, and I've really wanted to ring you up.
And now you have. What? Okay, listen, let's do... this is episode 8 of what's going to be 12 episodes. Tell me what you like about the show.
I just enjoy listening to what you have to say and everything.
Okay.
I think what you do is interesting.
I am. You're right. What I do is... It's interesting. Would you say it's funny?
Sometimes.
Ah. And what bits don't you like?
Just when people ring up and swear.
I don't like this. There's not been too much swearing, has there? I've tried to keep the swearing to a minimum.
Yeah. I mean, I am only 12, so... You
yeah,
know,
no, I don't like the swearing, Braden, and I've tried to make a point of keeping it family-friendly. So I've allowed, like, one or two little swears in, because you appreciate that that's how people talk in the real world.
But oh, yeah.
What I've tried to do is I've tried not to let it get too filthy, because I don't think that that's really necessary.
No, not at all.
Braden, do you know who David Bowie is?
David Bowie? I've heard of him.
He's on my screen that he's calling in now. Do you want to talk to him?
Oh, yes, please.
David Bowie, you're through to Braden.
Hello there, Braden. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Not bad. Diets. Do you want to talk about diets?
About what?
Diets.
Diet?
Diets, you know, food.
Steady on, David. Braden's only 12. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
I know, it must be frustrating.
I know. I want to be 12 again. How the mighty have fallen.
Do you want to talk about diets with David Bowie, Braden?
Not really. I'm not really on one. I'm quite thin, thank you.
Okay, there we go. We shall end that there. I'm only ending it because, A, it was dull. Not you, Braden, David Bowie. Well, actually, David Bowie was good, but also, oh, there was a call from a foreign country. That's frustrating. I can call them, but it'll cost me a fortune. Let's try. I'll call them back. Hang on a second. Let's see. Let's see what happens. David Bowie and Braden Shudwin on my show. Who'd have thought? That's not foreign. Who is this person? Are they going to answer? Probably not. Should have ended with Braden and David Bowie.
Done.
Is unavailable now. Record your message after the tone.
Darren, it's the Ian Lee Pocket Radio Show. You totally called me. Then when I called you back, you totally didn't answer the call. What's your problem? load of old nonsense, really, isn't it? This is the Ian Lee Pocket Radio Show. Thank you for listening. If you want to take part, follow me on Twitter at Ian Lee, or join my Facebook, facebook.com/ Ian Lee Official. Anyone understand the updates on Facebook? I've got no idea what's going on. Facebook seems to have lost part of its joy now with this new timeline. I just don't understand it. Anyway, do go and join up there, and I'll let you know when and how I'm recording the phone calls and what you can do to take part. This has been episode 8. There will be 12 episodes in this series. Then we'll have a little break. And then we'll do some more. If you're an advertiser or a company or a shop or a person and you want to advertise on the show, send me an email, ian@ianlee.com, because we're getting a lot of downloads. The advertisers that are on the show already seem to be very happy with the way things are going. And the prices are going to rocket up for Series 2. So get in now while you still can. On that bombshell, I'm going to say to you, ta-ta.
Jackie Shroff is a bad man.
Along with Stephen Tompkinson, he of Ballykiss Angel, Drop the Dead Donkey, Grifters, and is now in the West End's Art at the Wyndham Theatre. But first of all, because it's that sort of wonderful programme, we get a chance to browse through some of the celebs that are happening screen-wise on your TV set during the course of the next 7 days. Back for a brand new series, It's All Happening. Because if you're a fan of such things, here is the scenario. Ladies and gentlemen, you've had a successful run on TV. You've spawned a new generation of characters and catchphrases, including Booyaka. And now the new series launches, but without the main man, the man who caught all the headlines and the public's attention as the 11 o'clock show returns to Channel 4 next week. It returns without Ali G. Will it live on? Can it survive? And just how does frontman Ian Lee feel about it all? Ian, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, how are you?
Very well. I've got a bit of a cold and a little bit deaf this morning, so you may have to speak up.
But we'll shout. We do a lot of that on this programme anyway.
That's fine.
We love the Channel 4 press office, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, have they been bad?
Well, they sent me a preview tape.
Yeah.
Not that I think such things exist for the 11 o'clock
show, because you write the script pretty much
it's
before.
It's all done on the day, pretty yeah. much, yeah.
Well, either it was a preview tape or a review tape, whichever one it was, and it had nothing on it other than an episode of Bewitched starring Elizabeth Montgomery.
Well, some people would say that's a lot better, so you may have done well out of that, I think.
The one that goes, doo-doo, doo-doo,
I know exactly, very much.
She isn't she gorgeous?
Oh, she's wonderful.
You know, I began watching and I thought, this is really clever. They're going to start with an episode of Samantha and Darren and that kooky 60s American sitcom, and they're going to turn it into radical pumping Channel 4 comedy. But it wasn't to be.
Not that clever, I'm afraid. Sorry, they made a mistake. I'll have a go at them. I'll sort that out.
Will you please?
Of course I will.
Because I was there and I was ready. You know, I booked my half hour off.
I'm very influential at Channel 4. I get it all sorted out. I can tell.
Yeah. Listen, these trailers that are on air at the moment, you've done a vox pop with a kid in the street.
Yes.
Who's sat there saying, oh, you're my favourite programme. I watch you all the time. And you go, you don't know who I am. You never watched a programme in your life, have you? Was that staged or real?
That's absolutely real. There was just a bloke who was incredibly eager to get on television, and he said, yeah, I'll talk to you about whatever. And we're asking questions. He goes, yeah, I love the show. And he'd never seen it. Didn't know who we were. So, no, they're all absolutely genuine, the vox pops.
It kind of cuts one's ego down to size when that happens.
Yeah, just a bit. But, you know, we thought it was quite nice.
It's when people rush up to you and ask you for autographs and say, you're Johnny Briggs, aren't you? Yeah. No, John Briggs. No, you're Johnny Briggs from Coronation Street, aren't you? And I said, no, the wrong person. I have been asked to open factories.
Oh, do it. There's good money.
Cloth making. What if I turned up, they'd be deeply disappointed.
No, just say, you know, you look a little bit different off the telly. That's what I do. It works all the time.
I look taller on the radio, yeah.
Mm.
Okay, so here you go. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, is that right?
That's right, 11 o'clock at night on Channel 4.
It hasn't got Ali G.
No, there was the option of having Ali G back, and we were sort of thinking, well, to be honest, we don't really need him in the show, so we've let him go, gently.
He's gone off to sort of form his own career, because he did become bigger than the show itself, didn't he?
Well, yeah, it was quite amazing, really, how he became accepted by sort of the nation. It's like, I had friends' parents were buying the Ali G video, and it's like, well, you shouldn't be watching this, you're too old. But, no, he became a part of the culture, really, which is quite amazing.
So, is it nerve-wracking, the day before, desperately hunting through the stories to find good stuff to write about?
It's not nerve-wracking for me, to be honest, but it is quite scary, because when we get in there in the morning of the show, there's hardly anything's been written. There's a very rough outline sketch of what we'll be doing, but there'll be no jokes at all, no VTs filmed or anything.
So there's no pre-filmed material you drop in if you suddenly run out of topical stuff?
Well, we filmed a little bit in advance, a couple of things that we had to pre-record that we couldn't do on the day that we'll be putting in, and we've got a couple of standbys just in case, you know, it goes disastrously wrong or we get shot or something. It's quite a scary thing. We don't really know what we're going to do.
Now, this is series 3?
It's series 4 technically, because we had a little 2-week pilot run, but it's the third series proper.
And the first one, of course, was with Fred McCauley and Brendan Burns.
Yes.
And now you've got the sultry, the gorgeous Daisy Donovan.
We've got Daisy Donovan. I wouldn't necessarily describe her in that way, but yeah, she's doing the show, yeah. Bless her.
So you get on well?
Yeah, we get on very well. She's lovely. She's very sweet.
And you kind of elevated, because in the first series it was all general, wasn't it? Everybody did everything.
Yeah.
And now you're definitely front man, because you're in the studio more than the rest. But
yeah, I'm the boss. It's cool.
So you can throw your weight around.
Presenter
tantrums.
It's more just a title, really. But we're all equals in our show.
So what's new in this series? What are you going to do that's different?
I can't really give too much away. We've got normally my vox pops are all done in London, but we've been around the country and pre-recorded some outside of London, so it's not so London-centric, which I think is quite good. Ricky Gervais is coming back, and he's got an incredible character, which we're deciding whether we can use or not. And if we do use it, it will be the most hilarious thing I think anyone will ever have seen on television. Thinking Man's Ali G, I think it is.
So can you see a few more stereotypical characters being formed in the nation's consciousness?
I don't know. We're not deliberately going to try and, you know, make another Ali G. I think that would be absolutely wrong and people would see through it instantly. But we've got some sort of new interesting characters. Steve Brody is a comedian. He's got a character that goes off to various things, which is very funny. There are new people are coming in and bringing new ideas. So we're not going to look for a new Ali G.
So what were you brought up on? Because you went into stand-up comedy, didn't you?
Yeah.
You did your psychology at Windsor and Maidenhead College.
Yeah.
Now, I've done the research.
Heard all that, yeah.
And you worked. Which local radio station did you work at?
I worked at FM 103 Horizon in
London. And they love you still, and they hold you up now as being their champion.
I don't think they do. I don't know. I haven't been back recently.
Tom, isn't he? Sound like any radio station. You go back if you haven't been. been there for a couple of years, and you tell them, I don't know anybody here.
Yeah, exactly.
And they go, who are you? Have you come to clean out the loos? So, what were you brought up on? Were you a Monty Python or not the 9 o'clock news person?
Well, I was at Monty Python first, but I've gone off that quite a lot recently. I think it's quite dull. And I've been getting into not the 9 o'clock news, so it's... I like all comedy, you know? I think everything's quite funny. Apart from a few things that are on telly.
But you have people, obviously, that inspire you. I mean, every comedian has somebody who they think, yeah, that's what really made me laugh, and I realised I could do it too.
Oh, Peter Cook, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, I think, is just the funniest man, the cleverest man that's ever been on this planet. Absolute genius.
What about the more contemporary people, like the Izzard and so on, who are...
Eddie Izzard, yeah, I'm a big fan of Eddie Izzard. I'm not as keen on him as much as I used to be. You know, I used to watch his videos fanatically and be devoted, and I think... he's not lost the plot, but I don't think he's as hilarious and as cutting-edge as he used to be. But I'm a big fan of his and all the stand-ups, you know, Harry Hill.
Is that the problem, though, when you become big? I mean, I remember Eddie Izzard from way back when I first saw him, and I think it was something like a Secret Policeman's Ball or something similar.
Yeah.
When he did on TV the sketch about being brought up by wolves.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And it's still one of the funniest gigs I've ever seen.
Brilliant.
And he's never repeated it, to my knowledge. Certainly, I've never seen him do it live. It's the only time I've ever seen it happen. And therefore, I followed him for weeks and weeks and weeks. And suddenly, when he became big and everybody's going, oh, Izzard, isn't he fab, isn't he great, you went, oh yeah, okay, but I've been watching him for a long time,
like him before he was famous.
Yeah,
I think to a certain extent, to become more popular, you've got to lose that edge ever so slightly, because, you know, otherwise you're considered a bit wacky and a bit off centre. And also, I think it's a scary thing, but I think as you get older, and I sort of, you know, I've been noticing from my peers and stuff, as you get older you do sort of tone it down a bit and seem to think things aren't quite as funny and now hilarious. I think you lose your standards a little bit, and I know it's going to happen to me at some point, and I'm scared.
How many writers on the show are you?
Oh, thousands. We have actually got hundreds. I think there are about 8 or 9 in the office, and then we have several that are scattered around the country and email and fax in jokes, and we sift through it.
And go, well, I thought of something funny, I know I'll send it in.
Yeah, exactly. And we get a lot of rubbish sent in, to be honest, from mad people who just write the weirdest stuff. But we do get a lot of good stuff sent in. And it's because, you know, we're writing it on the day, and there are so many, now it's, the program's changed, like, there are so many sort of quick one-off gags that it needs a massive team just to fill those gaps, really.
So what qualifies, then, in that case? I mean, is anything up for gags? Or grabs? I'll try that again. Anything up for grabs? Would you do the Afghan hostage hijacking, or would you perhaps...
Well, I think you could do the Afghan the hostage thing, because that, you know, fair play. What a bunch of lazy people they are. Cheating, I think they are, aren't they? Cheating, trying to get into the country this way.
But would you...
the back of a freezer van or something, and take that risk. But they've just sat on a plane and come over.
And ate plane food, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that no one got... There are things that are hard to tackle. You know, if there's a lot of people... Oh, sorry, my phone's cracking. I do apologise. If death is quite a hard thing to do immediately after it's happened, but I think there's a certain point when everything becomes, you know, public property and people can laugh about it.
So no taboos on the 11 o'clock show?
No, I don't think so. We try and avoid that. Very rarely do we look at a joke and go, oh no, that's gone too far.
Okay, two things we need to know from you, Ian, which we always ask when we're doing TV stuff, is tell me something secret that goes on behind the scenes of the 11 o'clock show that we will never get to actually see on air.
I had a fight in Southampton last week. That was filmed, and that will never get shown on air.
You can't just leave it at that.
Well, we were doing Vox Pops, and to be honest, I was having a bit of a showbiz strop, as you do when you're on the telly, flash. And some bloke walked
past. I'm going to my trailer.
Exactly. If we don't have a trailer, I'm going to the public toilet, sort of been my thing. We just travel as is. But we were doing some stuff in the street, and this quite often happens. A chap walked past, and he swore at me. And normally you'd ignore it, but I was in such a foul showbiz mood, I kept having a go back at him, and was being quite rude. And in the end, it involved him grabbing my microphone, threatening to shove it somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And then me saying, there's all lots of rude swear words, so I'm missing a lot of the story out. And then me saying something equally rude, and then us running away. But that's on film, and that will never get shown, because apparently it's quite uncomfortable.
Good.
Not very pleasant.
Oh, what a shame. Well, we're going to the outtakes for the Christmas reel, which I'm sure somebody will bootleg and get round to us. Finally, it is the weekend programme. Go on, what are you doing for the weekend?
Oh, this weekend? Well, nothing very exciting. I've got an electrician coming around at 12 to do some work. I'm not quite sure what it is. And then this evening, I think I'm going out for dinner with my girlfriend.
The life of the stars, huh?
Oh, it's incredibly glamorous. You won't believe it. Probably bump into Hugh Grant and Liz Hurley. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, my girlfriend's going away to Cornwall for a month directing a play. So I'm going to be having a sad day saying goodbye to her.
Before Valentine's Day as well.
I know, exactly.
Have you bought her anything?
Isn't she cutting?
Have you got her anything for Valentine's Day?
Absolutely nothing, no.
No. Well, that's all she deserves. If she leaves you before...
Me, then forget
if
it,
she leaves you before Valentine's Day, it's all she deserves.
No, I love her very much. I'll get her something like that.
Marriage on the horizon?
Oh, no, don't be silly. Okay. Come on, calm down.
No, I just want to know how serious this is.
It is very serious. We're sort of going to get a house together and stuff. You're not being asking very personal questions.
Well, I am, but that's what we're like on this programme.
Oh, a bit of gossip,
does
I see.
Does Daisy mind?
No, not at all, not at all. Get the dirt. I love it.
Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, Channel 4, 11 o'clock. It's all live and it's all fab and glorious, and we wish you luck with it
that's
as
great.
Well.
Thank you very much.
Ian, good to speak to you. Come back and talk to us again, won't
I'd
you?
I'd love to, certainly.
Ian Lee, who's frontman in charge. Well, co-host with Daisy Donovan. The 11 o'clock show returns to Channel 4 Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday without the fight scene. Be there or be a little bit square, as they say. Coming up, Neil Innes. Wonderful man. Fantastic talent. Anyone who can write a lyric.